Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Wednesdays at 1:20, Mark Schlereth joins the show, our Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Stinkin' Truth podcast. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious. Mark, how are you?
What up, Stink?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Doing good. We'll get to some of the playoff matchups in a few minutes, but unfortunately, we're not talking playoffs here in Atlanta. We're talking about a team that kind of fell apart down the stretch and didn't make the playoffs. How do you explain, from your perspective, what happened to the Falcons in the second half of the year?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously it's not good, but you got horrible quarterback play. Kirk Cousins did not play well. He certainly regressed from the beginning of the season, or at least in the middle of the season when you guys had that string going on. So, I mean, that's what you look at. You look at the quarterback play and you look at the lack thereof and the issues you have with turnovers and not throwing touchdowns and all those things. And I'm sure there's a lot more than just Kirk Cousins, but ultimately when you have a veteran quarterback that you pay a lot of money to, that guy's supposed to cover up warts. You know, he's supposed to be compound W, cover those warts, and he didn't. He was actually one of the warts that exposed itself. Yep. So, yeah, he's a guy that, that you got to kind of point the finger to, and you got to look at and say, hey, man, and that's why they decided to go in the alternate direction and go to Penix. So that's the issue.
What's the word on, or what you're hearing about this kid, Michael Penix, as far as his future? I mean, Stick, he could put it through it. He could put it through a Cheerio. I mean, he throws dimes and everything. What are some of the things you're hearing about this young man?
All the stuff that came out, you know, of the draft, and I know a lot of coaches and a lot of general manager types that evaluated him, and you know, arm talent, athleticism, his ability to throw the football, all those things were plus, plus, plus. So, you know, the whole managing the offense and doing those things, the transition, that was a question, you know, going from the college game to the professional game. But he seems to have handled that exceptionally well. I mean, most of the guys in this class, it's just been amazing between him and Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix and even Drake May, man, they have exceeded expectations, to be sure. So pretty cool stuff. And, I mean, if you're Atlanta right now, you got to be pretty excited about the way he played to finish up the season, kind of where you're going as a franchise. And he certainly looks the part. There's no question about that.
How do you think they handle Cousins now going forward and trying to make sure that it doesn't get messy this offseason?
Well, I mean, I don't know I don't know what the contract looks like, what the outs of the contract are and all those things, but is there a trade partner where you can eat some of that money and trade him away? I don't know what that looks like. I don't know exactly how that goes, but I can't imagine you bring Cousins back. I can't imagine he's going to be like, yeah, let me just back up Penix and just kind of, be in that role. And then ultimately, I think for him too, with the money, I just don't think he's going to take a renegotiation. So at some point you're going to have to let the guy go, I would imagine, and he'll be playing somewhere else.
What about some of these playoff games? I think a lot of ones, all of them are intriguing, but the Philadelphia game, because of the situation with Jalen Hurts, he did practice there, I think they said, and with the concussion and everything. What do you think about this game, and how much do you think a concussion will keep them away from, if they're in this short yardage, your bread and butter play? Now, they got a 2,000-yard back, but they do still like to do that tush push.
Yeah, I don't know how much it's going to affect them. I don't know the extent, like how much of that concussion protocol was just take your time and don't rush it back and all that kind of stuff. And we're not even going to test for a while. I have no idea how they handle it. They've kept it close to the vest, which is probably the best thing you can do if you're in that situation. But you know, they are so talented a football team. And, you know, you can make a pretty compelling argument that they're the most talented team in the National Football League going into these playoffs right now, you know, with that quarterback, with Saquon, with Goddard at tight end, with, A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith. Offensive line is as talented as any group in football. And then, you know, defensively, we talk about those corners that they've got. And yeah, like they are loaded, man. They are a loaded football team. So I would tell you that in this particular game, anytime that the Packers have faced a good team, you know, I mean, they've got, what, two losses to Minnesota, two losses to Detroit, mm-hmm. You know, a loss to Philadelphia. Anytime they face a good team, they've crumbled. They've only beaten the teams that, you know, are under 500. So, and they lose Christian Watson, mm-hmm. which is their biggest kind of big over-the-top play guy. So yeah. I just think Philadelphia is just a much better team overall. And I actually would be surprised if they don't, you know, if they don't kind of put it to Green Bay. And I know Green Bay's got a lot of talent and they've run the ball and they've created turnovers. But if you don't turn the ball over, I feel at the end of the day, you're probably talking about a Philadelphia double digit win. That's what it feels like to me.
Who did you view as the MVP this season? Now that the regular season's over, we're headed to the playoffs. Who was the MVP for you?
Yeah, well, I mean, it a lot of amazing, you know, a lot of amazing performances to be sure. I hate the fact that it has become a quarterback award like the Heisman. Mm-hmm. That drives me crazy. Because, you know, we put quarterbacks in pink jerseys and don't let anybody hit them. So, like, you can have, like that bothers me. I wanted it to be Saquon, and I thought that if it was if Saquon was, you know, allowed to break the all-time record of Eric Dickerson setting 84, then it would have been him. I wouldn't be upset if it was Lamar or Josh Allen. But I'd probably go Josh Allen, and it's simple narrative stuff to me is, you know, when Josh Allen took over, they got rid of Stephon Diggs, they got rid of Gabe Davis, they got rid of a lot of the weapons, and people said, oh, no, this is going to be a year where they fall down a little bit and this, that, and the other. And yet Josh Allen has cured his turnover issues and had his best season ever. And Lamar's had his best season ever. But it always is hard for me, you know, and people in Baltimore hate me, but it's hard for me when – everybody who's you know covers this game says the same thing. It's like, hey, the key to this offense being really efficient and good is run the snot out of the ball and limit some of the passing and, you know, hand it to King Henry and use your Lamar in the run game and then, you know, and then get them when they get one-on-one opportunities on the outside. So it's hard to go, he's the MVP and the best thing they could do is hand it to Derrick Henry. That seems like it's you know, counterintuitive. Like, it seems like it's you know, it just seems like it's not the right thing. So I'm gonna go with Josh Allen.
What about this? I mean, we talked about the Eagles already, and obviously, but the other team is in the NFC is the Detroit. I thought it was a masterful game plan by Aaron Glenn. It'd be a shame that he's not a head coach in this cycle right now. But they're getting healthy, Stank. And I'm talking about when you look at them at Philadelphia with a semi-healthy. I still don't know when Aiden Hutchinson is going to do. But with this team, the way they are, do you think they'll beat Philly, I mean, especially because Philly has to go to Detroit?
Yeah, you know, they've been my number one. Detroit was my number one team all season long, and they just started getting decimated on the defensive side by injuries. But they've made some significant changes. Amik Robertson has moved from the inside kind of slot back to the outside. They got Alex Anzalone back, who was great the other day in that game. But listen, man, there were plenty of opportunities. I mean, Sam Darnold missed on blitzes three or four touchdown passes. That, you know, that's a different ball game if he hits those things, no questions asked. But ultimately, I love what they do offensively. They totally dominate the line of scrimmage. You know, they've got a great run game, a great passing game. Their quarterback, Jared Goff, just doesn't get the, you know, he I think people just remember him from the Rams and the fact that the Rams got rid of him and all this, that, and the other. But that dude is incredible. And, like, I just think they're such a damn good offense that – and the other thing is, I think from a mindset standpoint, there's nobody better equipped to play in the playoffs than Detroit. Like, they know exactly what they are. They know they've got to dominate offensively. They know they've got to hang 30-plus on everybody. And they know they got to make up for their defense. And how do you do that? Well, you go for it on every fourth down. You don't hesitate. You fake punt. You do whatever you got to do. You got 18 million trick plays in your book. and you run them. You know, most of us that played, you know how this is, man. Most of us that played had we had all these trick plays, and we never actually ran any of them. Right?
They look good during the week, though.
They look good during the week, but we never had coaching staff that had balls enough to actually execute them in the game plan. And they like, I mean, that's part of their makeup. I talked to Dan. Gosh, just over the last couple of years, I've done a bunch of their games, but I talked to him like 2 years ago, and he was like, "Hey, man, this is our identity. I don't want guys to pucker up when it's fourth down. I want them to be so used to going for it. I want them to look at third down like second down. I want them to be so used to going for it on fourth down that there is no hesitation. There's no fear. There's no, oh, what if? Like, this is what we do." And that's what they've done, and it's been pretty incredible.
Mark, we appreciate it.
Appreciate you,
as always. Thank you. Talk to you next week.
You got it. Take care, guys.
Mark Schlereth there, Odyssey NFL Insider.